الله خيرا. السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، وعلى صحابته المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أم يحسدون الناس على ما آتاهم الله من فضله، فقد آتينا آل إبراهيم الكتاب والحكمة وآتيناهم ملكا عظيما. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Tonight I'm going to speak about a subject that is very sensitive, and you rarely hear about it in other sessions or other places, and that is a disease. I'm going to speak about the ramifications of a moral or ethical, or even I can call it spiritual disease. And that disease is very dangerous. Imam Ali alayhi salam says this disease is sharrul amrad. This is the worst type of social, spiritual, and even mental disease. And that disease is maradul hasad. Hasad, jealousy and envy, which is common in the human societies. And I am going not only to speak about it, but also to try to find ways of curbing it and getting rid of it, which is possible. Some people think we are born with these qualities, with these attributes. Someone is born a jealous person, stingy person, mean, this or that. This is not true. This is not true. Yes, there is a lot of contribution when it comes to the genes and genetic order. Definitely there is a lot of influence of our parents on our life. But Allah has endowed us with the power, with the ability, with the will to combat all these diseases. Hasad is mentioned in the Quran. It's mentioned in the last chapters of the Quran. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسَدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. And we seek refuge in God. We seek refuge in Him from the evil of the envier when he or she envies. So definitely we have to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this disease. And this disease has been defined by our imams, by the Prophet and his family, as the mother of all diseases. Because envy, when it is not challenged, or you don't combat envy, it is going to lead to all other bad and evil diseases. Such as what? Someone who is an envy and envious of people, he cannot see them being successful, being prosperous, buying something new, having a new house, a new car, a new job, a new baby, and he wishes ill for them. That person is going to bring to himself all sorts of other diseases. Envy, hasad is a window. It's a gate to all other amrad and diseases. Such as what? Such as lying. Someone who's hasood, he would lie against people. Someone who's hasood, envious, he is going to hate others. He is going to accuse them when he cannot see people successful, this family successful, this individual successful, this mosque successful, this community successful, he tries to fabricate lies against them. He tries to falsely and wrongly and unjustly accuses them. And it could lead even to murder. And the most obvious example is in this book. Two brothers from the same father, the same mother, Qabil killed Habil. Cain murdered Abel. Why? What was the reason? Because of jealousy. Because of jealousy. When God accepted the offering of Abel, and he rejected the bad offering, the bad contribution. Qabil was not feeling well. He was not well. Even when he gave the worst. Some people, when they give the best. They give generously. They give with love. They give and they say thank you. Others, they don't give, and they expect you to tell them thank you. And when the day they give, they bring something bad. This is the example of Qabil. Qabil was jealous of Habil when he heard that God accepted the offering of Abel, not out of discrimination, but because Abel was sincere. He was true. He was honest. When he gave from his heart. So he became jealous of him, and he said to him, قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. The answer of Habil was, قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. The other example of jealousy that happened even before Qabil and Habil. What was the story? Exactly. Shaytan, Allah mentions him in many, many chapters in this book. Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Imran, Surah Al-Ma'idah and others. Because of his jealousy, when God ordered the angels, I want you to bow down out of respect for Adam. He said, I'm not going to do that. Because I'm better than him, I'm not going to bow down before him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. That is another example. There is a third example of jealousy between brothers. Where is it? What chapter? What is story? Ahsant, Joseph, Yusuf alayhi salam. إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ. That we are strong brothers, 10 of us, Usba, united among us. And then yet our dad, rather than respecting us, he's respecting Joseph and his brother Benjamin more than us. It was out of jealousy. It was out of jealousy. And they tried to kill Joseph. They tried to murder him. And when they threw him inside the well, they thought he's dead. So their intention was murder. So jealousy, my friends, do not underestimate the ramifications of jealousy. Jealousy sometimes leads, yes, to murder, to killing innocent people. So this is the root of all evils. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, someone who's jealous, I ask the friends to come forward here. Hasib, bring your friends, all of them here to this area. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Should we do Qiyam like Laylatul Qadr? Here, here, to this side, Habib. Yes, mashallah, mashallah. May Allah bless you, full of energy. After this Afghani food that we ate, mashallah, you can see the energy. Alhamdulillah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Amir al-Mu'mineen says someone who's jealous, he or she is going to get nothing. Nothing out of their jealousy save suffering. ثَمَرَةُ الْحَسَدْ شَقَاءُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرِ. Someone who's envious and jealous of people and he cannot see people are moving forward, people are prosperous, people are advancing. Whenever he hears a successful story, he goes down. He becomes depressed. He becomes angry. He becomes unhappy. Why? Because this neighbor, for instance, he remodeled his house. The other neighbor, God gave him, let's say, a son or a daughter. Someone, he got a girlfriend, he couldn't, you know, get girlfriend, whatever, you know. So, he gets frustrated. It ruins his life. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, not only ruins this life, but he's not going to have a successful life there too. Al-hasthamaratu al-hasad, the fruit, the result of jealousy and envy, shaqa'u al-dunya wal-akhirah, the suffering of this life and the hereafter. And Amir al-Mu'mineen says something very beautiful. He says, ma ra'aytu zaliman ashbaha bimadlum. I haven't seen in my life someone who's zalim, who's aggressor, who's wrongdoer, but when you look at him, you think he's mazloom, he's wronged. Min al-hasid, min al-hasid. He is aggressor. He's the one who initiates aggression and assault against people, but yet he looks like a victim. Why? Because he's always crying, always sad, always hopeless. Nafasun mahmum wa huznun da'im wa qalbun ha'im. His heart cannot focus on his life, on his job. He cannot even build himself. He cannot move forward. He cannot see a window of opportunity for himself. Why? Because he's busy monitoring people. Not just monitoring them, becoming sad for their success. Yesterday I mentioned something here on this podium last night. I said the very first principle we learn in Islam, the very first lesson we learn from our book, our imams, our prophet, is the universality of mankind. We are one family. If someone becomes successful, it means I'm successful. And if someone fails, I am failing. If someone gets sick, I get sick. If someone is healed, I heal. من أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا ومن أحياها فكأنما أحيا الناس جميعا. The murder, the mayhem, the suffering of one is considered the suffering of the entire humanity. And the success of one is a success for the entire humanity. We are one family despite our colors, our races, our languages, we come from one family. And to one family we are going to go back. So, how do we get rid of this? Is there any way? Is there any hope? Or someone is born envious and jealous and mean, and he or she cannot change their life? Where is the answer? What does God say? God says there is room for islah, to change yourself, to change your heart, to change your thinking, to change your habit. And one of the reasons we have the month of Ramadan, not just to abstain from eating and drinking, but also to abstain from bad thoughts, from evil thoughts. Not just shut your mouth, don't eat, don't drink, don't smoke. No, that's the easiest. That's the easy part of it. The most challenging part is not to think evil of others in the society. Not to conspire to damage their life. Not to wish them unhappiness and loss and suffering. This is the essence of fasting. To keep your thoughts under control. To give guidance and direction to your thoughts, to your nafs, to your heart. If the heart is fine and good, all your deeds are going to be good. If the heart is sick, no deed is going to be good. Even if you try to do good, you would not succeed. Why? Because the center, the machine inside, is broken. You have to fix the machine first. And therefore, I'm going to mention 5 points tonight. How to combat hasad and envy. How to combat that? Number one, the most important reason why people become hasood and envious and jealous of each other is hubbu dunya, the attachment to this dunya, to this world. Hubbu dunya. Their obsession with the dunya, their fascination with the dunya, their attachment, ta'alluq, ta'alluq. This is why we read an important sentence in Dua Abi Hamzat al-Thamali during the grand night of destiny. Allahumma akhrij hubba al-dunya min qalbi. take this disease out of my heart. If you want to make me happy, happy is not just by giving me food and shelter and an apartment and a nice car. That would not help if my heart is sick. Wouldn't. These material gains are not going to help. Even if God gives me $10 million, I will ask for another $10 million. I would not be satisfied with the first $10 million. But if the heart becomes content, if the heart is filled, see, أخرج حب الدنيا, and then instead of حب الدنيا, take this disease and fill it with the love for Muhammad and wa Ali Muhammad. They work together. Take the disease, this bad disease of being attached and obsessed to this dunya, and when there is a vacuum there, fill this vacuum for love for the Prophet and his family, because love for the Prophet and his family is love for God, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first reason why we become hasood, it's our attachment to this dunya. When we are attached to the dunya, I want to be the richest. I want to be the strongest. I want to dominate others, to be ahead of them, to be always the leader at the top. And people are below me. My rivals are behind me, below me. Okay? I want to be the most famous. If someone is more famous than me, I get sick. If someone has more money than me, I get sick. If someone has more good reputation other than me, I get sick. Why? Because of حب الدنيا. Because my work is not for God. If my work is for God, maybe others, they excel. I will be happy for them. Because at the end of the day, we all are working for God. But when someone works for himself or herself, they are going to have rivalry with others. The reason people fight among themselves, because they work for themselves, not for the Akhirah. Believe me, the day they begin all working for the Akhirah, there is no court system, there is no judge, there are no attorneys. And sorry to the attorneys, I don't want to insult you. No lawyers. They have to shut down. And they become, inshallah, imams. The day we stop falling in love with the dunya, believe me. The reason why we fight, all because of حب الدنيا. And therefore, a good medicine for jealousy is تذكر الآخرة. Remember death. Remember آخر. Always, every single day, say to yourself, I'm a guest here. I'm a guest. I'm not staying. Look at people who left before me. There were people who were older than me, and many of them were even younger than me. They left. Now that I'm speaking to you, we have a good friend of us. She's dying. The doctor said it's a matter of hours. Only 45 years old. Younger than me. Younger than many of you. 1 year before, she was the healthiest. All of a sudden, you go to the hospital and they say you are diagnosed with this, with that. And it is too late. So, to always remember that we have to leave this dunya. Whatever I get, whether it's fame, money, property, buildings, towers, land, power, authority, government, I have to leave it behind. I have to leave it behind. We should not rest our hope on dunya. We should rest our hope on Allah and the Akhir. So this is solution and medicine number one. Medicine number two. Do not always put your concern in monitoring people. This is not a good habit. Some people, they have nothing, no hobby, but to watch people and monitor them. What does he do? What does she do? What does this family do? Where does he go? Where is his vacation? Where is his home? Where is his job? Where is his clothing? Where does he put his shoes, you know? What did he eat tonight for, you know, iftar? What he is going to eat tomorrow for his iftar? This is not good. Be busy with your own self. مَنْ رَاقَبَ النَّاسَ مَا تَهَمَّنْ Amir al-Mu'mineen says, if you keep monitoring people, you're going to die with hem, with unhappiness. Don't look at people. Leave people alone. Don't even ask people, what is your house, what is your job, what is your car, what is your income, what is your son, what is your daughter. Don't. If they tell you, ahlan wa sahlan, tell them congratulations. If not, it's not your business to go and check on people. It's not your business. Because once you start checking on people and monitoring them, then jealousy develops and envy develops. Because you're going to compare yourself with others. So if they score success, you're going to feel sad if you don't score the same success. So stay away from monitoring people and never ever compare yourself to anyone. Even your brother, even your sister, even your father, even your friend. Never say, well, look at him, he has more than me, he owns more, he did more. Never say that. Yes, say, Ilahi, give me the ability to excel, to work harder. Yes, Allah says, when it comes to hasanat and wholesomeness, sabiqu, race for this. But never ever compare yourself to any person, because God gave each individual his or her own potential and characteristics, and they should be different from others. So never compare yourself to anyone. Never. Yes, sometimes we get inspired by successful people. We get inspired by them. But we don't compare ourselves with them. They have different circumstances, different opportunities, different times, different destinies. Laylatul Qadr is the night where our destinies are determined. You see two people sitting next to each other. God determines one thing for this, another thing for that. Based on His wisdom. Based on His wisdom, His justice. And God never discriminates. Be happy with what you have and do not compare yourself with others. This is the second medicine. The third medicine, always, always to combat envy, always look at people who are below you. When it comes to materialism, don't look at people who are above you. Because you are not going to be satisfied, never ever. Once you look at people who are above you, every time you look at a house which is better than your house, suppose you get that house, the new house. Again, there is a house bigger than that one, better than that one, more expensive than that one. So you keep changing homes every single day. When you look at a car, there is always better than that car. Always. Be satisfied with what you have and look at those who are below you. Say, at least my car is running. My car is 2013, 2012, 2011, 2010. At least I have better car than this. I have better house. I have could be better family, better income, better health, better place. Always, always speak about the goodness that you have. Always about the gifts that God bestows on you. Compare yourself to the homeless here. You know how many homeless we have? And the number is increasing. The number is increasing in this nation. Compare yourself to them. Say, what if God wanted to make me homeless? He can't make me homeless? Yes, He can. But God saved me. At least I have an apartment. At least I have a shelter. At least I have air conditioning. At least I have health care. At least I have safe food, safe drink. Speak always about the goodness that you have, and remember, people have masa'ib, afflictions. Every family has a challenge. Every family has an affliction, imtihan, trials and tribulations. Sometimes we look at certain families, we think they are the happiest. No. If they smile always and they look happy, it does not mean that they have no trials and tribulations and tragedies and suffering. No. Some people do not show the suffering. There is suffering inside. They keep it inside. They don't show it. So it does not mean that they are always successful, always happy. Each family, each individual has his or her own challenges and imtihans by God. That is medicine number three. Medicine number four. Reason for envy and jealousy. Part of it is selfishness. When we only love ourselves. When we don't love others. But if you train yourself, it's not easy. I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's hard, but it is doable, achievable. Train yourself to love others, to appreciate others, to respect others. Today, Sister Noor spoke about racism. Racism is a disease. When I look at myself, my family, my blood and my vein to be better than others. I'm above than others. This is sickness. Racism is a type of mental and social sickness. Don't look at yourself as being better. When you keep telling yourself, my race is better, my village is better, my language is better, my color, this creates egoism. This creates selfishness. And selfishness brings jealousy and envy and other diseases. So try to love people. Once you love them, you will do your best to help them, believe me. Always when you love people, the first step is to love them. The second step, you try to protect them. You try to help them. You try to do goodness to them. As I mentioned in Laylatul Qadr, do goodness even to your enemies that you think they are your enemies. This is the strategy and the akhlaq and the manners of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the history of Imam Hassan, in the history of Imam Zainul Abideen, they were in Medina. The city of Medina was invaded by Bani Umayyah after the assassination of Amir al-Mu'mineen. The Khilafah went back from Kufa to the seat of the Khilafah to Medina, and Bani Umayyah were ruling, and they poisoned the minds of the people. They poisoned them against Ahlul Bayt. They attributed every evil to Ahlul Bayt and every goodness to Bani Umayyah, to Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan. So people were brainwashed just like any society. When the media control the society, people are brainwashed. Many people in Medina itself, let alone Syria and other places, in Medina itself, they did not respect the family of the Prophet. They would curse them in broad daylight. They curse the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. The Imams, they return the curse with love. The Imam says to someone who curses him, right in his face, إِيَّاكَ أَعْنِي. Don't think that I mean someone who's sitting behind me. No, you, Ya Hassan. Imam says, وَعَنْكَ أَعْفُ. And I forgive you. إِن كُنْتَ جَائِعًا أَشْبَعْنَاكَ أَوْ طَرِيدًا آوَيْنَاكَ أَوْ عُرْيَانًا كَسَوْنَاكَ أَوْ فَقِيرًا أَغْنَى. If you are homeless, we will give you shelter. If you are hungry, we provide you with food. If you need money, I'll give you money. Tell me, what do you need? They return evil with goodness, and they were successful. Try to do good to those who hate you. Do not return hate with hate. You are not going to solve the problem. We are exacerbating the problem if we return hate with hate, envy with envy, evil with evil. That's not the solution. The solution is to return evil with goodness. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي. This is منطق القرآن. If we love Quran, if we love Ramadan, if we are really fasting, then we have to follow the Quranic logic. When someone hurts me, I don't hurt him. I say, اِخْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكْ. May God forgive you for this fault. I know we have shaitan surrounding us, and sometimes we become weak. This is how we look at it. Islam is the religion of tarbiyah. You have to be murabbis, my friend. You. Many of them are coming to this masjid for 20 years. And if we don't know how to be murabbi, we are failing in our mission. Believe me. Rather than opening masjid, let's turn it into supermarket. It's more profitable. But when we have masjid, in the masjid, we not just go and eat. Neither we go just to pray. We learn. We learn akhlaq. We learn how to deal with others. We learn how to be more patient. We learn how to be more forgiving. So, do good, love people and do good, including the one that you are envious of him or her. This is slowly, you're going to terminate envy. And last, the fifth pill and medicine, and it is the most important. You have to ask Allah with tadarru', not just dua. The difference between dua is just to say, oh Allah, please do this for me. Tadarru', when you put your heart and your tears and you cry. This is the meaning of amman yujibu al-muhtarra idha da. In the state of distress, you tell him, God, please God, take out jealousy out of my heart. Get it out of my heart. Cleanse my heart. Dua and tadarru'. Dua and sincerity. And God will listen to you. God will listen to you. In these nights, this one also, by the way, tonight is the eve of the 27th, one of the possibilities of Laylatul Qadr. Again, when you go home, when you're by yourself, when you are by yourself, before you sleep, before dawn, the break of dawn and fajr, say, Ilahi, cleanse my heart. I want the gift of Laylatul Qadr from you, pure heart. Heart clean of stinginess, bukhl. Clean of envious, of envy, jealousy. Clean of hatred. Clean of grudge. Clean my heart. You have to pray strong. Once you pray and you follow the prayers with actions, the actions that I mentioned, inshallah, your heart is going to be the best. And the heart which is the best, believe me, the dua, the prayers of that heart is accepted by Allah. Allah does listen to those who carry nice and pure and refined hearts, inshallah. Two mas'ala before I leave the podium. One of them is Zakatul Fitr. The other is the Eid. When is the Eid? People are asking. Zakatul Fitr, my friends, is the zakat. We have two types of zakat in Islam. One, zakatul mal, and the second, zakatul abdan. So, zakatul mal is the taxation of the income. The zakat that we pay on the day of Eid is zakatul abdan. And we pay it only once a year. Zakatul abdan, once a year. And that is on the day of Eid. You take the money out. You separate the money from your wallet, if you have a wallet, or if you put it in an envelope, or our wives, they have purse, alhamdulillah. So wherever you keep the money, separate the money. $15 per person, 3 kilos of good food. 3 kilos, not 75 grams. That is for fidya. That's for the kafara and the fidya. For Zakatul Fitr is more in value and more in weight. So 3 kilos, which is about, how much is the meat today in the market? Lamb meat, the kilo, not the pounds, from halal. $14? Wow. So $5 per pound? 12? Okay. So you have to pay $30 per person, zakat al-fitr. I wish you shouldn't have told me that. Now that you told me, you are in big trouble. However, I'll give you 50% discount here. So, nobody eat meat? Chicken, how much is chicken? How much is the kilo? 2 pounds, how much is the 2 pounds? $4, $4, $5, yeah, that's $15. Okay. So $15 per person in the family. The family of five, they pay $75. However, my friends, if you know of a deserving family, you purchase the food and you give them yourself. If you don't, then you may bring it to the masjid. You bring it to the masjid. Please don't write checks, because we send this money outside. Some people, for $5, they write a check, you know. That's a really headache. So try to collect some money from tonight, inshallah. So if you are two people, 30 bucks is not a lot for you. And take this money out the night of Eid and give it before the prayers, before Salatul Eid, put it in the box. From tomorrow, Hajj Mushtaba will bring some boxes and bring one. We don't have Sayyid, non-Sayyid. All of them are one. Because there is no Sayyid that we give to. There is no Sayyid. So even the zakat of the Sayyid is going to go to non-Sayyid. So we make one box. We don't discriminate. Sayyid, non-Sayyid. This is not good. We are all alhamdulillah Sayyids in the eyes of Allah. All of you. But don't wear a black turban, huh, tomorrow. So, yes, so you give Zakatul Fitr on the day of Eid, inshallah. And the breadwinner of the family, the one who sustains and provides for the family, is responsible for Zakatul Fitr. Not every person in the family. So if you are a wife following your husband, if you are a son still dependent on your father, on your family, then they will pay on your behalf. And if they pay on your behalf, you don't pay anymore, because the taxation is only one time, not twice or three times. The Eid this year is going to be difficult, because there are two opinions. One opinion of Ayatollah Khoi and many other grand Ayatollahs is that the unity of the horizon, if it is seen in countries where we share the nights with them, then we depend on them. So if they see it, we follow them. If we see it, they follow us. The opinion of Ayatollah Sistani, it has to be regional in your areas. So if you see it in your areas, then you declare Eid. But if someone see it in neighboring country, you don't follow them. So let's say two countries next to each other, one of them could have it Sunday, the other can have it Monday, for instance. That's the opinion of Ayatollah Sistani. We have been following, when we established the Shia Muslim Council of Southern California 3 years ago, more than 3 years ago, we decided, the scholars, that we're going to follow the opinion of the unity of the horizon. So if the opinion of Ayatollah Khoi and many other Ayatollahs in Najaf and Qom and other places, I just mentioned one name, but there are many Ayatollahs who believe in the unity of the horizon. So if it is seen in Mexico or Brazil or South America, which we share the night with them, or let's say Hawaii or other islands in the Pacific, if two people see it, then we declare Eid the following day. And inshallah, we are waiting. We made some contact with South America. We have some friends, reliable people. We know them, Islamic centers and others. If they see it on Saturday, then Sunday is going to be Eid. But if we receive no news of seeing the moon on Saturday, then Sunday is not Eid, my friends. Be with me, okay? We have to use shar' here, not our emotions. We use shar'ullah ta'ala, what God tells us. So if we receive a news by Saturday, and I think the sunset, they expect to see it in Honolulu, we called them today, they said by 7:16 p.m. they see the new moon in Honolulu. 7:16 p.m. in Honolulu corresponds with 10:16 p.m. here. So we have to wait, huh? We have to wait. Don't come before Maghrib and ask me, Sayyid, what is Eid? Never ask me. Please don't ask me. Never call the Islamic Center. Because every year we are inundated with phone calls. People are asking 2 days before Eid. 2 days they are asking. We don't know. So wait until we make the announcement. If we are at the masjid, inshallah, by that time we could be at the masjid when we receive news from trustworthy, adil individuals that they have seen the moon, inshallah, we will declare it here and through the email. The email reaches thousands of people. So if you don't, you are not on our mailing list, email list, give it to Brother Mujtaba. Give it to Brother Ammar. Ammar can put you in the system, so you receive the email, inshallah. So there is a strong possibility. There is a strong possibility that Sunday is going to be Eid, but also there is a possibility that Monday is going to be Eid too. When do we know? Saturday night, inshallah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin.